Thank you, Lord, for another wonderful night we're going to have tonight. I praise you for it, Father. I thank you, Lord, that you're going to be in charge. You're going to lead us, guide us, doing the things that you want us to do. And I pray, Lord, in the name of Jesus, that you move in the hearts of all these wonderful people like never before tonight, that the atmosphere of your presence would be so weighty, so tangible, Lord, that they cannot deny you. And they can't deny that you are the living, powerful, almighty God. And we thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. And I speak and I prophesy right now that the movement of the body will begin to take place, that people are going to experience healing transformations all over this fellowship right now in the name of Jesus. And the deliverance of their minds would be pure and simple in Jesus' name. We thank you. We praise you for that, Father. And I pray right now, Lord, that you begin to touch their hearts in this moment right now, that they should be granted a deeper access to you, Lord, that you would permeate their very being as they walk among the world, and the people would take notice and see the light that would come out from among them, Lord, and that your power and your love would grow forth from them. And we praise you for that, Father, in Jesus' name. I thank you, Father, for the work that you're doing in each and every one of us, bringing us into that realm of where the bride is supposed to walk, Lord, that nothing else matters in our life now but you, Lord. And that we take every step and that we speak every thought that comes from you, Lord. And I thank you for it, in Jesus' name. Bless us tonight, Father, as we come forth with your words to bless the people here. Each and every one of us, Lord, are a part of the body, and we all have something to give. And I thank you, Lord, that it's going to be given tonight. In the mighty name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen and amen. And I command every communication spirit that wants to try to interrupt anybody's talking or their internet connection to leave right now in the name of Jesus. We command and we thank you, Lord, that your angels right now are out and about and taking care of business right now in Jesus' name. And we thank you, Father, that everybody is going to be on that wants to be on. And that there would be no problems in Jesus' name. Thank you for our open heaven. If we believe, Lord, that when we pray, that it's going to happen. Because you reside in us. And if you reside in us, you brought everything with you when you came in us, Lord. And I thank you, Father, that we know that when we pray, that the power of God goes forth in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Glory to God. Whoo, man, somebody needs to get excited about Jesus. Glory to God. I'm telling you the truth. All right. All right, now, has anybody got a prayer request? Yes, Nick.
Yeah, I got a praise, actually.
Okay.
One of my coworker that I was talking about, she is coming home tomorrow from the hospital.
Well, of course. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Father. Amen. That's a good report. All right. Anyone else? Hallelujah to the Lamb. somebody. Glory to God. Oh, my. I wish somebody get excited here. Jeela's excited. She's yaying and hallelujah. Go ahead, Ray. I see you, brother.
Thank you. We have two grown adult children who are still, well, they're in the workforce, and they are being subjected currently to this new OSHA vaccine mandate regulations that are coming forth due to various things. There's an awful lot being said in the news with respect to, you know, circuit courts and Supreme Court, and there's a lot of various groups that are coming against this, of course. But in the meantime, they're still being subjected to their employers feeling that they have to uphold these mandates. So June and I are fortunate. We're retired and we can sit back and just be in the, with the Lord and you know, be safe and know that we're protected. But for those that are still working and are subjected to this, it'd be a real difficult time. And I know this has come up before, and I just thought I'd share this with the group and then see if there's something in particular that someone may be able to add to that. Of course, praying is something we do consistently and daily on this matter for the Lord to intervene and take this mandate away for the, so they don't have to deal with it. Other than obviously saying they just will reject it and have their jobs up for jeopardy potentially, you know.
Just for your information, we prayed before. Let me mute y'all. There's some feedback for some reason. We prayed before, and it don't make any difference whether it's overseas or here. And the mandates have been pulled the next day. That's happened. So what state is this in, Ray? Wait a minute. You need to unmute. I had to mute you because I got some feedback on you.
North Carolina.
Okay. That's our next door neighbor.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, in the name of Jesus right now, we cast this mandate down in North Carolina that it would be null and void, that the people's voice would be heard in an overpowering way, and the legislatures and the politicians would be scared to even follow through. And Father, we know that for your glory, you're going to get this done. You're going to knock it down, and we thank you for it. Father, place it in the hearts of the politicians and the evil people that are trying to put this on the people to take it down in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, and we know that you're going to get the glory. Bless God, because you're the one that did it. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I believe it.
Amen.
I believe it. Glory to God. Glory to God. Everybody believe that? North Carolina's going to rescind that mandate. In Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. Anybody else? I've got to send the link to Justin. Yeah, go ahead, Jude. You have to unmute. Yeah. I wish I could do that for you, but they won't allow me to unmute you. I can mute you, but I can't unmute you. Okay. Where'd she go? I thought she was going over to unmute herself. Oh, well. Yeah, Justin, I guess from Justin and Lacey, he doesn't have the new thing. All right, go ahead, Geneva.
I wanted to just thank the Lord because I know last time we had all prayed because the baby was kind of in a weird position in my stomach, and it was causing me some back pain and stuff, and I didn't like that the midwife had told me that. Anyways, we all said that prayer, and I had my appointment with her yesterday, and praise the Lord, she was like, oh wow, she's like, the baby's in a perfect position now. And baby's head is on it. The feet are up. She goes, yeah. She was like, I know that, you know, she's like, babies can move around a lot. She was like, but she's like, she's in a great position. So praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you all for your faith. And thank you, Lord, for everything.
Yes, Lord. Thank you, Father. That's going to be an easy one for Geneva.
Amen.
Amen. All right, David or Lena, go ahead, bro. Sister,
it's me.
Okay.
I have a very interesting testimony. Don't mind me. I just came late from work.
Yeah, I wish you straightened up a little bit before you come home. You know what I'm saying? I'm just kidding, bro.
I'm sorry. Go ahead. That's my own.
Go ahead.
I had a very interesting thing happened at work. I see it happen to others, but never thought it would happen to me. Someone stole my phone. A customer brought a truck, and I was looking at it outside, and I went to grab a tool, and by the time I come back, my phone wasn't there, and the customer was gone. So I spent a good portion of the time thinking maybe I misplaced it. So I was looking for it, and I got my earbuds, and it catches my phone within 30 feet of me. And I went inch by inch around that whole shop, hoping it was still in there. And it wasn't. So I was walking around. I was like, man, Lord, what do I do now? And then out of my words came out, devil, bring it back.
Amen.
And then I went on the computer at work, logged into my iCloud, and I found where my phone is. The guy tried to take it to T-Mobile. And I was like, no, you come back. So I locked it and hit the alarm button, and my phone went off. And next thing you know, you see that dot is moving back to the shop. And the guy ended up bringing my phone back to me. He tried to come up with an excuse that he found it on the floor and whatnot and yada, yada. But I was like, nah. And I was like, thank you, Lord, for that.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. You're awesome. You even make the thieves bring their stuff back to us. In Jesus' name. That's awesome, buddy. Thank you, Father, for doing that for David and all of us when it happened, if it happened. Thank you, Lord, for giving us the wherewithal to pray and to ask you to tell that devil to bring it back. That's the authority. Thank you, Father. Glory. Hallelujah. Woo-hoo. All right. Anybody else? Testimony or pray, prayer, request, or anything? Come on, Justin, get on. Yeah, Benita, go ahead.
Yeah, I have a praise report and a prayer request. A while ago, we had prayed for my knee because it kept hurting quite a bit, and the pain went away. I haven't had any pain in it for a while. And today, I was driving up to see Grandma and was in the car for about an hour, and I got out at a store. And I just couldn't even straighten my leg out. Every time I tried to take a step, I would just almost fall down. It hurts so badly. And I just started praying and casting it out and taking, you know, just claiming who the Lord was in my life, and just kept trying to take another step and another step and kept buckling. And I just stopped for a minute and just prayed. And then I just started walking, and it just went away. It was gone. So amen. I was just ready to skip and jump and praise the Lord more.
Praise God.
That was exciting.
Praise God. Yeah, amen.
Amen. Yes. So I was actually going up to see Frank's grandmother, Marge Justice is her name. And we've prayed for her before. She's 97 and I went up there in September, but I haven't seen her since then. And she's just very, very frail now and very weak. And she was trying to talk to me and I was showing her some old pictures and stuff, and she just got really, really tired and weak. And she sat down and I feel so weak. I just can't do anything. And she laid down and then she just started praying that the Lord would just take her. And Lord, I commit I can't remember the words she used, but she was committing herself to the Lord that he would just take her. And then she said a little poem. She kept repeating this poem. It was just so sweet, but so sad. And she laid down and she's like, Vanita, I can hardly breathe. I just feel like he's taking the breath out of me, but I just want to sing for joy. I'm just so thankful and just want to sing for joy, even though I can't breathe. And she just was just laying there and saying that poem and just repeating it over and over. And I mean, I don't know, you know, daily what she goes through, but I know she's been very weak for a while. And I was just blessed to be able to sit by her and pray with her and just rub her head and just be there with her for a little while as she was going through that. And it was just such a blessing to me, but I just was praying that the Lord would take her. And just, she's been wanting to go be with Grandpa for 33 years now, but and she has to move out of her house and we don't know where she's going to go yet by the middle of January. So I don't know, it would be nice if the Lord would just take her before then so that she could die in her home like she always wanted to, but I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen there. We'll have to,
Us to pray? You want us to pray?
Yes, that would be wonderful.
You want us to pray that the Lord would go ahead and take her home?
I do, yes.
Okay, because he will. He'll do it. What's her name?
Marge, M-A-R-J, Marge Justice.
Okay. Now, how old is she?
She's 97.
Woohoo. Well, it's 97. 97 is 16. 61 is 7, so she's ready. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for Marge Justice. Lord, she had really had a long, hopefully fruitful life, and I bet she has, being Benita's grandmother. And Lord, I just ask and I pray right now on her behalf. She wants to come home. And I just thank you, Father, for taking her in her sleep. Taking her in her sleep, Lord, it would be just an easy transition for her. She just goes from this life to yours, Lord. And it'd be an awesome testimony when we get up there. And I thank you for it, Father. Marge, get ready because you're fixing to go home, huh? In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Thank you, Lord.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
Everybody believe that? Amen. You know we can do that. We can. If everybody had to go, it's time, 97. Ooh, wow. That's awesome. All right. Anyone else? Somebody ran June slam off. All right. Anybody else got a testimony? I got one. Night before last night, I had David came up to my bedroom as he does often. And, we were talking, and I had a little cold trying to come on me, symptoms trying to come on me. And I, both of us, I had him agree with me, and I prayed that thing off of it. Boy, and it wasn't 30 minutes. It was gone. I'm telling you, I sneezed all. I don't know why I waited so long, but at the end, I suffered with it all day long. I guess I'm just, you know, a little slow. But when we finally got together, I said, "What? I'm tired of blowing my nose and sneezing and all this stuff." I said, "Believe with me." And I just commanded it off, and it wasn't 30 minutes, man. It was gone completely. And I slept like a baby last night. Amen. All right. Anybody else? Yes, Julie.
I have just a small little testimony, but it's pretty significant. You know, when you're in pain and it hurts and God takes it, it's significant. I burnt my finger, and it actually burned to the point where it actually had a little blister on there. My index fingers, I touched my pan that had been sitting on the burner for a while and went to wipe something off thinking it wasn't, because it was on low, but it was really hot. And I was like, oh no, right immediately into my mouth, right? I'm like, Lord, take that pain away. And I looked at it and like, oh, it was so hot and a blister on there. And I'm like, oh Lord, take that away. Thank you, Lord, for taking that blister away. Thank you, Lord, for healing the nerve so it doesn't hurt. And then I really forgot about it. And when I did wash my dishes, you know, you put your burned finger in there with hot water, it hurts, right? I just thought, well, I'm going to put my gloves on, my, you know, dish gloves, whatever, my rubber gloves. And I still felt it, but it wasn't as bad. And then I just forgot about it. And it wasn't until the next day I realized, it's like, my finger doesn't hurt. Oh my gosh, that blister's not even there. It doesn't even look like I did anything to it. And it's like, praise the Lord. He's awesome.
Amen. Thank you, Father. Yes, he is. Yeah. He is an awesome God. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Go ahead, Geneva.
Can we say a prayer for Morgan real quick? He's here beside me. And
sure.
He has a stomach ache. And he gets them periodically. And I just want to pray those things away. We prayed before, but if we could just have everybody's faith, that'd be good, because he's not feeling too good right now.
Okay. Well, Father, in the name of Jesus, we lift up Morgan to you. We thank you, Lord, that you work miracles long distance. And that's the way I love to do it. That's the way we all love to do it. In the name of Jesus right now, I command this stomach discomfort to go from him. In the name of Jesus, I command that digestive tract to line up with the word of God right now in Jesus' name. And I command the pain to go, discomfort to go, all symptoms to go, and you be gone in the name of Jesus. And Father, I thank you for that right now. Ooh, my. Thank you, Father, for your powerful working in Morgan right now. He's healed in the name of Jesus. Body be whole right now in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father, for doing that for Morgan. We praise you, Father, because we know it's done in Jesus' name. Glory to God, glory to God. Thank you, Father. Morgan, be healed in the name of Jesus. All right, that's done.
Amen. Thank you.
Amen. Thank the Lord. Woo, thank you, Jesus. Glory to God, glory to God. Amen. All right, anybody else? Well, sure. Barbara says she wants us to pray for her for what is it? Severe fatigue. Okay, yes, we can do that. Raise your hands, Barbara. You don't have to turn your camera on, but raise your hands and receive this in the name of Jesus right now. I command fatigue to go from Barbara. I command it by the power and authority of the Lord Jesus Christ. You go from her. And I thank you, Father, for putting peace Any anxiety go from her right now in the name of Jesus. Any nervousness go from her right now in the name of Jesus. And Father, we thank you that this night, this very night, that she will sleep and be supernaturally recharged. And in the morning, she's going to be back to full measure of your energy and strength in Barbara, in the name of Jesus. And Father, we thank you that she's going to praise you for it too when she wakes up, because she'll know that it's been you that done it and nobody else. And we thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Body be whole in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Glory to God, glory to God. We praise you, Father, that Barbara has been healed of this, delivered of it in the name of Jesus. You tormenting spirits, go from her right now in Jesus' name. I command her mind to settle down and sleep at night in the name of Jesus, and go into, what do they call that, when you put your sleep mode in Jesus' name. Amen.
REM sleep.
Thank you.
Yeah. Amen.
Yeah. Yeah. While I'm on here, I get broken up sleep every single night for years. And I know I'm healed. I am healed. I confess that. I declare that. I know I'm healed. I'm healed by the stripes of Jesus. I claim that, and I'm going to continue to claim that. And I'm going through, I guess, a couple trials, and they're all tying in with one another, but that's, I guess that's why I'm so fatigued, I suppose, is having broken up sleep every single night. And
wait a minute. Quit saying that your sleep has been broken up every night. What you're doing, you're allowing that door to stay open. Just close that door. Let's close it right now. We close that door right now.
How do
now
you do that?
Well, I just did it. I just closed it. Now, all you need to do is start saying, I have good sleep every night. I sleep well. I am going to sleep well tonight. I'm going to have the best sleep tonight that I've ever had.
I am. Amen. Lord, I also pray that I don't have to go to the bathroom every night. And I don't even have to get up to go to the bathroom.
That's right.
Because if I just lay there,
you'll get some sleep.
Yes, I want to sleep. I don't want to have to get up and go to the bathroom every hour. I want to sleep. Nope. And then when it's time for me to get up in the morning, not late in the morning, early morning, so I can get up and start my day.
Amen.
It's messing up everything. You see, it's messing up with me disciplining myself to get in the word early enough and function throughout the day. Even praying, it's messing up my prayer time. It's just messing with me. And I was late tonight, I fell asleep. I was so upset that I fell asleep and why I was so late getting on. And I'm just tired of the enemy. I'm sick of him. And I want to fight him. And
the way you fight him and change everything in your life is with your tongue. When you do that, you start confessing the good report instead of the bad report. You don't give that devil any kind of, none of us do. I know I've been guilty of it myself, Barbara, but I've learned to keep my mouth shut when something's wrong with me from now on, and just say, the Lord God himself has gotten me through this. I ain't going to put up with it anymore. I don't have this. As a matter of fact, if there's anything in your body that's messed up, say, I thank you, Lord, that my body is perfect, just like it was when I was a teenager.
I know I try to catch myself. I have caught myself plenty of times, and I mean, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, I'm healed. Thank you, Lord, I don't have this issue. Thank you, Lord. Yeah. I know you've done it for me at the cross. Yeah, I catch myself, you know. I just pray that I do it more consistently, I guess. You know, if I'm keeping that door open, I don't want that door open. I want to solve. And because I'm really getting wore out, and the enemy is not going to wear me out.
Quit that.
I'm sick of him. I'm just so sick of him right now.
Amen. Amen. There you go.
First Carol. You're
sick and tired of him, and go after it, girl. Amen. Go after that devil.
Yeah. Yeah, thank you.
All right, you're healed. You're going to get a good night's sleep tonight. You're going to dream sweet dreams. You'll get up in the morning with a smile on your face and ready to go get in the word. I guarantee you.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Because everybody in here prayed with me and they believe with you. And you're going to be having a good night's sleep and you ain't getting up until in the morning when it's time to get up. Amen. All right. Anybody else? I pray that for myself, too. I pray it for everybody in here, that you get a good night's sleep. Every time you want a good night's sleep, you go to bed, you lay your head on that thing, you ain't getting up till in the morning. In the name of Jesus. What's that, Justin? Or Lacey? Hey, look at that baby! Glory to God, look out, y'all. That's that new baby. Oh, my.
Triple girls. I'm just kidding. We got a baby boy.
Is that, what is it, a boy?
A boy, yeah.
All right. Hey, buddy. You, what's his name?
Matthias.
Matthias. All right. Hey, Matthias. All right.
Congratulations.
Yes, congratulations. Everything okay,
thank you. Huh? Everything went good. Praise the Lord.
Awesome. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Another one in the fellowship here. My goodness, man, we're getting all kinds of babies. This is awesome. All right, Matthias. I got to write that down.
You look great, Lacey. You look beautiful. So is the baby.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you.
I was hoping you would bring him in here one of these days soon so we could see him.
Yeah, it's been a while. He's actually already like a month old, so it's been a while.
Yeah. Well, I know you're busy. Is this number five or four?
So this is number four, and they're all boys.
Okay. All right.
You go, girl. Get that baseball team. That's what you're looking for.
We need one more.
Okay. Aww. I'm just kidding.
This speedy. Turn him around. This is pretty face.
He's snoozing a little bit. Comfortable. See if we can get him on there a little bit more.
He's comfortable. Oh, there he is.
Hey, but yeah, there he is. Hang on, let me.
Hey, Matthias.
He's sweet.
Oh, wrong one.
Bless you. Right now, so it's we good. Bless you,
is.
Little one.
There he is. Hey, Matthias, can y'all see him now? There he is. Hey, buddy.
Look over here.
Big eye. Look at him, big over eye. Here. He is so cute. Yeah, he is, Geneva. Hey, buddy. He's seeing us now. He's looking at it. Hey, boy. Praise the Lord. That's cool. Thank you for doing that.
Thanks for all your prayers.
Okay. Praise the Lord. Okay. He is perfect. He looked good. He looked really good. Justin working?
He's here. He's about to be in here in a minute.
Okay.
He's all in the right. kitchen now. Put me up.
Oh. Power nap.
He's got to come in.
Lord, we just thank you for this new baby. We praise you, Father. We ask that you bless him. Bless him with everything that he needs, Lord. We thank you, Father, that he's going to be a good, gentle baby. And they're going to put the love of God in him. And he's going to be a wonderful child. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Thank you, Lord, for Mama and Daddy, too. Bless them with your presence. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. Anybody else? I will see somebody top that one. I'd like to throw something out here with y'all. I have contacted a few people, not as many as I want to. So I'm just going to put it out here tonight. What I'd like to do, I'd like to change the outreach fellowship a little bit. Not a big change, but one I believe will be beneficial for everybody. And what I'd like to do is take the Thursday night sessions starting in January, the Thursday night sessions, and allow different men to teach a short message. And then we could discuss afterwards with any questions that you might have, that they might have. And I would suggest this for the men is that when you first start out, just pick something that you always like that might be a part of your ministry, you know, whatever it is, whether it be, you know, whatever it is, it makes no difference, but whatever you're very, what you might be gifted in, pick that for a subject, something you really know, and then pose it out there for like a 30-minute a talk, and then the people could ask questions or maybe comment afterwards also. For a while. What do y'all think about that? The floor is open. Oh man, I can't believe the excitement that's going on here. It's just rolling over. Good gracious.
Great idea, brother.
Thanks, William.
Beautiful, beautiful idea.
Yeah.
Yes, sir. Exercising the in the body of Christ. I love it.
Yeah. Well, we've got some people here that know the word. I think it would be great.
Yeah, I think that's a good idea, Michael. It'd be very good to hear from the other men.
Amen.
And it doesn't mean that we have to be, well, the men have to be teachers, right? As in per se, we could just read a piece of scripture or word, yeah, or anything like that. It's not a, yeah, I think that'll be very good discussions.
Yeah, I think it would be too. That doesn't mean get on and just go on and on and on and on and on until the hour is up, but I'd like to do it for about 30 minutes and try to limit it to that. I know sometimes you might go over, sometimes it might be under. We ain't no law here. And, but I would like to hear from all the men that want to do it. It's not mandatory. You know, I just, anybody that wants to. Now, I'm going to reserve one Thursday night for Rion. I know that he gets off on the second Thursday, is it, Rion? Or Friday?
Yeah, I've got every second Friday off. So okay. That's when I'm normally on the fellowships, as your Thursday nights.
Okay, prepare. So anybody else that wants to send me an email or text or anything like that, and I'll put you on the list and schedule whenever you win and let you know, give you plenty of time to prepare whatever you want to do. It's fine. Let me see a show of hands that's not interested. Yeah, come on. Don't be shy.
That's not interested.
Yeah, I want to see the ones that's not interested, I think. Or is interested, I should say. Maybe he is interested. Okay. Joe, Pat, Rion.
Is this interested now?
Yeah, is interested. Okay, William. Greg put two hands up. Okay, we'll put him down twice in my praise God. All right. Let's see, Pat, Joe, Rion.
Michael, I would need to translate as well. Eh?
Yeah, I got you down, Joe. You want twice a week, Joe?
No. I said I need to translate as well.
Well, we'll have to get somebody to translate. That's okay. Hey, there's a lot of them that can understand you. I'm just from Arkansas, and that people from Arkansas only understand certain amounts of English. Malcolm?
Okay,
let's see who else. Isaac? I know George does.
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
You hear me now.
Yeah.
Okay, so.
Well, I did. Now I can't.
I bet it.
Okay, I got you down. All right, I can't hear you. How about it, Sanaa? Okay, I'll put Justin down.
I think Barry raised his hand.
Barry did, okay. I got Barry. Let's see. Julie, did you raise your? No.
Yeah, you put me down for, no, I'm teasing. Did you see David's hand? David put his hand up.
No, I didn't. Let me get David.
I think you did, right, David?
Okay. I did. He say, yeah. Okay, got him.
Yeah.
Okay, good. Thanks, David. All right, what about it, Sunil? Or did you want me to put you down? Okay. Anybody else?
Well, we you got Andrew down, Michael?
Got who?
Andrew.
Andrew didn't raise his hand. Did you raise your hand, Andrew? Where'd he go? Oh, there you are.
I'd just like to see how it goes first, and then maybe you can put my name down later.
This is the only chance you get, big boy.
Okay, then put me in.
It's mandatory, sorry.
Okay. Thanks. All right. We got everybody, I think, that wanted to. You reckon Samuel would? Rion, what about Edward? You think he would?
I can ask him. I can ask him. I don't know if he's on now, Andrea. Is he there?
I don't see him.
I don't see him. As well?
Okay. All right, well. That's good. All right, then that's what we're gonna do. Malcolm, you got your hand up to talk, or okay, go ahead, brother.
No, I just don't have a way of putting my hand out.
No, that's you have okay.
To do it for me. I'm on the phone. Thanks.
Okay. Well, while you lower and raise your hand, I believe it's star six, isn't it? Is that it? No, that ain't it. That's just talk and meet and unmeet, I think. All right. And we'll do this in December. And I'll send out the emails to everybody. Hey, Justin. Hey, Papa. Awesome. I mean January. Yeah, I mean, I'm sorry. Next year. We'll start next year. Give y'all a chance to breathe.
Hey, Michael.
Yes, ma'am.
Can you tell Justin what you're asking for?
Yeah, Justin, I'd like to see the men in the fellowship starting in January. Every Thursday meeting, have a little short teaching on whatever's on your heart at the time. And we'll do this every Thursday with a different man every Thursday. And if you'd like, we'll put you down and I will let you know either a week or 2 weeks ahead of time in order to prepare anything that you'd like to. And what we'd like to do is like to limit the teaching to around 30 minutes at the most. We're not under the law, so. You know, anything out there, throwing it out there. If you just wanted to read some scriptures and talk about some scriptures, that's fine or whatever. Whatever's on your heart.
Okay. Okay. Yeah, yeah. I'm interested. Yeah, you can put me down.
Okay. I got you down. Okay. All right. Has anybody got anything on their mind now? Look at that baby. What a guy. Hey, Malcolm. Never mind. I got you down. All right. What y'all want to talk about tonight? I didn't have anything. Go ahead, Benita.
I just just wanted, I don't know, clarification. I think I know the answer, but I know, you know, we're not to, how do I say that? We're not to fight because we're not of this world. We're of the kingdom of God. And we, you know, we turn the other cheek and we don't lift up, you know, our hand against anybody or anything. But the question came up, do we as believers, would we participate in being a police officer or in the armed forces or in the Army, Navy, whatever, any of those? Is that something that we would participate in? I don't think it is from what I've listened to from David about, you know, not being a part of this world and being set apart. So I just wanted to throw that out there. If any of you have ever been police officers or in the forces, I was just curious where you stand on that.
Well, the only time that I was a police officer was when I was with the police officer and it was in the wrong seat. So I know where David stands on it. I know what the word says, but I'm just going to throw it out there. Anybody got some answers on that? The first thing you need to know, we're not of this world. And if we're not of this world, We're just in it. We're supposed to show the love of Christ, right? Go ahead, Missy. She wants to tackle that.
Well, I'll just quote some scriptures and let them speak for themselves. How's that?
No, go for it.
We'll close. Our wrestling is not with flesh and blood, but with principalities and rulers of darkness and spiritual wickedness in high places. And we put on the armor of God, full armor of God. Helmet of salvation, pick up the sword of spirit, the shield of faith, breastplate of righteousness, we gird our loins with truth. We shod our feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. You take up the sword, you die by the sword. Turn the other cheek, like you said. Love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. Those are just some that quickly come to my mind, so.
Go ahead, Julie.
Jesus said that, you know, my kingdom is not of this world. If it were, my servants would fight. That's what I was thinking about. So, and if we're servants of the Lord, you know, we can't fight. You know, we're supposed to lay down our lives so we can have his life. And he told us to go to our cross. He said, follow me. You know, it's like, how shall we die? There's a few teachings on the website about that. There's some ones published on the UBM channel, the UBM YouTube channel about, you know, like political Christians. And there's another one about, what's it called? Perspective on war and peace, a Christian's perspective of war and peace or something like that. This is the ones that are on the, that come to my mind. So that's what the Bible says. We have to go with what does God say? Yeah.
I guess I feel like I know people that are police officers and in different armed forces and things. And in the past, I would have been like, no, we need them to, you know, we need some Christians in there to do the right thing, to lead the way or whatever. But, like you said, we're not of this world, and all those scriptures Missy just quoted. What was I going to say now? I lost my track of thought.
That's a good question. It really is. It looks like we've got a bunch of good answers coming as well.
Oh, I know what I was going to. I was just going to say it just points to the apostasy that you just think that way because that's what. You're not told not to think that way. And so when you finally see the scriptures for what they are, you see that that's not how you're supposed to do things. But so much of the world is caught up in that. It's just part of the apostasy. That's what I wanted to say. That's all.
Amen. Thank you, Benita. Go ahead, Malcolm.
I just want to be sensitive to those of you who are officers or involved in some of these military type things that are listening. I was listening to David's broadcast Sunday, and you know, he made the point that, you know, Trump has killed people, but that's because he's not he didn't say not a believer at this point, but he's just not there yet. But God has given different people responsibility where they're at. And if you look at Paul's writings and Jesus' teachings as well, he addressed slavery. He didn't speak against the practice of slavery, but the principles that he laid out were very clear. That if believers followed them through to their logical conclusion, I mean, just look at the letter to the Philemon regarding Onesimus. I mean, if people followed it to their conclusion, slavery would be over. I just find it interesting that there's so many people that are getting so involved in the social justice issues. and seemingly disregarding Paul's way of dealing with these issues himself. He laid out the principles, but he didn't spend time speaking against the practice of slavery. But I think that's kind of a sidetrack to what I wanted to say. I don't want to be, you know, Paul talks about vessels of honor and vessels of dishonor, and that I don't think that's necessarily a slam on the vessels of dishonor. And I want to be careful not to try to pigeonhole anybody who's in the armed forces or whatever as being a vessel of dishonor. However, if a person becomes a disciple of Jesus, totally gung-ho, and is following him, people have to make decisions that might be difficult and painful as to what they do in their lives. People have to, you know, make decisions about what work they do, and I would say just let God lead you. You know, if you're in that situation and you're becoming convicted that God wants you to follow him completely and serve him. But it's that, like everybody's saying here, our job is to battle against principalities and powers, and our battle is not against flesh and blood. There are people out there who will deal with the flesh and blood stuff. That's not part of our job. And I've got a son in the military, but he's not in the Lord either. But not at this point. By faith, he is. By faith. You know what I'm saying. But God has vessels that take care of these different parts of life that have to be taken care of. Paul talks about that God has put people over us that we're to respect. To honor to whom honor is due. Jesus talked about, you know, is this whose inscription is on this penny or on the coin, whatever that coin was that he was using as a demonstration there. And then he made the point that you give unto Caesar what Caesar's, what's to God, what goes to God is God's. So, but this is a time when it's very clear that God is bringing people to make decisions, hard decisions. And, you know, like David has said, I agree, or I believe also that this whole shot thing that they're trying to mandate is a precursor to the mark of the beast. I mean, the contents of these shots. I don't know. Some of you may have experimented with reading, doing some inspection on Bluetooth signals. But it's pretty interesting that some people who are getting the shots are transmitting Bluetooth signals in a kind of a MAC address from their bodies. So that's pretty interesting that's where things are going, and that we do need to be making decisions that would affect our families and affect all kinds of things. I would just go for, if you're on the fence here on, you know, as far as following the Lord all the way, I would just go for it and ask God to lead you.
Is that it? Okay. All right. I didn't see you. All right. Go ahead.
Yeah. I mean, we could discuss this at length here.
Go ahead, Pat.
Yeah, I guess I was kind of thinking a couple things, like foundational points, and that is wherever you are at in the Lord and the awareness and the conscience he has given you in your particular place and time right now. You are, well, let me put it this way. God wants you, I believe the Lord wants you to walk according to faith and conviction. And if he has not raised that particular thing, that particular aspect in your mind and in your heart right now, then to a certain degree, it's up to the Lord. And I don't know if I'm saying this right or not, but I'll say it anyway. When the centurion came to Jesus to acquire healing for his servant, Jesus didn't talk to him about being a Roman soldier or whatever at the time. He was working on a different point. He was bringing forth healing. He was recognizing the man had faith that was very unusual, in that even in the land of Israel, there wasn't faith like that. So at some point in time, I suspect that the Lord would bring him around, if he continued on with the Lord, seeking him and walking with him, that he would become aware of a higher calling. And I think it kind of hinges on that, is that, you know, the Lord takes us where we are at and wherever and where we're at, and moves us from that place to where he wants us to be. And it may, in fact, take time to do that. So the important thing is to listen to the Lord, seek the Lord, and be walking with him. And once he is ready, or you would need to move from that position into another position, he'll move you there. He'll take you there if you're walking in obedience to what he's giving you. That being said, I think that if a person is blatantly ignoring certain facts in the scripture, like the ones that we've read here just, a few minutes ago. And if that individual is avoiding those things and not wanting to address that, then it may in fact be that the Lord is laying that conviction on his or her mind in order to address it, and they're not. So I think, it's kind of one of those things that you kind of have to walk with the Lord and see where he takes you, and follow after his leading and his guidance, and be quite aware that he will send reproof or correction or motivation into your life in one form or another, if he wants you to change from what you're doing or thinking or doing at that time. So I don't know, it's kind of a general assumption. I think I'm kind of playing off of what Malcolm is saying, because we are in a situation in this country right now where God is using a lot of people to accomplish his purpose.
and not all those people would appear to be, shall we say, righteous. But God is using them in their particular station right now to accomplish his purpose. I think back at Nebuchadnezzar. God took King Nebuchadnezzar through about three basic corrections of his thinking. The dream that was interpreted by Daniel and the Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego issue, and a couple other things. And the final thing was that God was setting Nebuchadnezzar up through a process of rebukes or corrections or manifestations of his sovereignty in his life, until the very last thing happened, that he cut his authority completely off of out of his life and tossed him out in the field for 7 years, until he gained the awareness that it is God that rules in the heavens, and he does everything in the earth today. And his salvation was based upon all those things happening within his life up to that point. And I shudder to think of probably all of the people that went to their grave by the word of Nebuchadnezzar. From what I've heard, is that was a very vicious empire to be around. But God took him from one stage, and I believe he took him into salvation at the very end, humbled him, destroyed his kingdom, and humbled him down to his knees and brought him into the kingdom. And he was accomplishing things all the way through that process. So I guess where I end up is that foremost, we need to listen to God and trust God to perform these things and motivate people and change people's hearts when the timing is right, and be willing to speak into those situations in people's lives if the need should arise, or the Lord should provoke you to do so. But anyway, I guess that's all I have to say.
All right, go ahead, Benita.
Yeah, thank you, Pat and Malcolm. That's very good points, and it just makes me think of the teaching that David was just doing on YouTube about the good news of the new covenant is, you know, for those who know to do good and do it not, to them it is sin. But then if you don't know, like, there's so many things that I have not had the revelation of the truth yet. I'm growing in it. And I mean, just in the last year, I've grown so much in the truth, but I didn't know that all before. And so I was ignorant of it. And he doesn't count that against me, praise the Lord. And so as he grows us and reveals the truth to us, then it becomes relevant as sin. So thanks for bringing that up.
Amen. Go ahead, Malcolm.
I just want to reiterate what I said before about Paul's letter to Philemon. If you look at the way he addressed Philemon regarding Onesimus, he didn't want to be stepping on Philemon's toes regarding Onesimus. And Onesimus had done Philemon wrong as a runaway slave, and it sounds like he had possibly stolen some stuff as well. So clearly Onesimus had to deal with that situation, and Paul, was making things right with Philemon and helping Onesimus make it right too. But if you look at the way Paul dealt with Philemon, it's very, you know, there's some points in there that are totally hilarious. They're so humorous, but Paul was very, you know, even Jesus, I mean, I guess I should finish my point with Paul. He was very, he wasn't condemning at all Philemon regarding slavery for owning slaves or having slaves. There was none of that there. He did make the point, as did I think some other apostles, that we're all, you know, when it comes, we're, in fact, I just heard this morning, that we're all, there's no respect of persons with God. So the slavery thing is a respect of persons, which God doesn't, God doesn't have respect of persons. I'm not saying that God doesn't deal with the current situation. Like, I'm just thinking of Abraham and Sarah. God upheld Sarah's demand to Abraham that Hagar be sent away. He didn't rebuke Sarah for the way she treated Hagar, even though I think it was wrong. But he didn't enter into that, you know, correcting that relationship of a being a slave. So it's just, I just find it interesting that on these different issues where the soldiers ask, well, John the Baptist, well, what should we do? And he told them, but he didn't say get out of the army or, you know, anything like that. He wasn't talking about that. He was talking about how they were to behave in their current situation. So I think I have to be careful not to, that people don't feel condemned or whatever because of, you know, I frankly have never felt like God condemned me for my very egregious things I've done wrong in my life. And maybe he has, and I just can't remember it or something, but I just, there's something about what Jesus did for us that has, you know, the ministry of condemnation is not part of what Jesus came to do. So anyway, I'm taking a long time to say this. It's just that this is a big deal because of all the social, I've got some relatives that are really on the bandwagon on some of the social justice stuff. It's to me, it's so sad because it's all missing that we don't battle with in flesh and blood. Those are not our issues to speak about. We address the principles and the foundational things that will correct people. I mean, once people are born again and they've gotten all this stuff, they're on their way in the kingdom. This stuff takes care of itself if they follow on that path of following Jesus. And like Pat was saying, God brings people around in his own time, and he has his own path for different people. And that's not a path that it's our job to determine for people or make people feel condemned or something because of them, they're not seeing things or kind of at, you know, where we would like them to be. Back to you, Michael.
Okay, go ahead, Missy.
Malcolm, I have a question. You said your son is in the military that you know of. Because of being in the military, has he, like, for lack of a better way of saying it, had to kill someone?
No, he's too early in the system.
Okay.
And I doubt he'd, yeah.
The reason I asked is I would like to pray for him concerning that.
Father? Yeah. No, he has, oh yeah, go ahead, Missy, go ahead.
Father, I know this is a concern of Malcolm And as well as the any of the rest of us who have family that are in the service, whether they be Christians or not Christians, Lord, about this, you know, or even police officers, Lord, we just pray for your for you to sovereignly keep them safe, that they never have to fire on someone and actually hurt them or kill them. We ask in Jesus' name, because we believe that they're going to come into your kingdom. So we just ask you for your mercy and grace upon them, and to quickly open their eyes, Lord, to this, and bring them into the kingdom, Lord. And those that come to the knowledge of this, that are in the military or police officers or whatever, and they come to this understanding, Lord, that they ask you and trust in you, Lord, to help them get out, especially military, they own you, to get out of the military so they're not put in that kind of position, because it's all about fighting and killing in the ways of the world, Lord. And we just thank you, Lord, for doing that. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord, for doing that. All right, anyone else? I think, like Malcolm and Pat were talking about, if you're already in when you come to Christ, or even if you are in Christ when you go into the military because you haven't been taught, that, yeah, you need to seek the Lord and find out what he wants you to do. You know, sometimes he's liable to leave you in there until you come to the spiritual knowledge of what he wants you to do, you know. Then you can decide. We don't want to be just hammered down on somebody because of it, but we do want the truth out there. If somebody is a Christian and want to go into this force, that's something else. So that's my little 2 cents worth. Go ahead, Andrew.
Michael, you have to also include perhaps in those that who are maybe finally retiring from the military too, to who might find the Lord, do according to his spirit. So I just want to add that to the people you mentioned there.
Amen. Okay, anybody else got a question or a good answer? What's up, Daniel? Hey, buddy.
Hello, Uncle Michael.
How you doing, bro? Good. I like that bear. I like it. I like that bear you got on your shirt, bro.
Thanks.
Yeah. You be nice to your mama.
Yes.
I know you will. All right. See you, buddy. All right. Anybody? Yeah, Julie, go ahead.
One of the things that was coming to my mind about what everyone's been discussing here about that kind of thing is, like, we were all part of the world and we were all in the world and of the world until we got saved and God started showing us things. And I can't remember where it's at in the Gospels where Jesus said that all sins will be forgiven for all men except blaspheming the Holy Spirit. And that means it's like when you get a revelation of something that you've done, your past, you know, God's going to forgive everybody if they did, you know, in ignorance or doing their patriotic duty, or really felt like they were supposed to be in law enforcement and they did take someone's life or they did do something, you know. I mean, that's what Jesus paid for, you know, our sins, mistakes, failures, doing things of the world, because we, you know, that's what we were, you know. So there is forgiveness, and there is, you know, the blood of Jesus that pays for people who have done even the most evil, horrendous despicable things today, you know? And that's where we have to be remembering that, you know, grace is so big and so broad. And, you know, the Apostle Paul, when he was Saul, you know, and he was, you know, he was persecuting the Christians and, you know, wanting them dead, killing Christians, you know, God forgave him. You know, I'm sure he had a lot of, you know, his time of solitude with the Lord out there in the, you know, Arabian desert, you know, repenting and just getting his heart clean with the Lord for just so much, you know. Anyhow, I just want to throw that out there. There is forgiveness for everybody, for everything that we've done. Amen.
Amen. Go ahead, Claire.
Rian put in the chat that he believes that it starts with raising kids and showing them the way early. And we've actually, on more than one occasion, had chats with other homeschool families who, and I guess this is, you know, we grew up in South Africa before the referendum. So like we were already over the age of seven before South Africa became a democracy. So we saw what a socialist state looked like. We saw what inequality towards any specific group looked like. And I know in my family, like my parents just said, you know, you just don't trust the police, whether they were white police or black police, like don't trust them. And then there were so many reasons. And so there's so much evidence in South Africa of how corrupt it is and how owned it is by various entities. And I think that's what, so I can only speak for myself, like that's what we grew up with, where I think in a more Western nation, you're grown up, or you're maybe not now anymore with all this woke stuff, but certainly people my age and slightly younger, and then my age and older, and I'm obviously decidedly middle-aged, like you're raised a certain way, right? Like you're raised to trust the policeman. If you have a problem, then you go and find a policeman. You're raised to trust the doctor. If he gives you a prescription, then you trust the doctor. You're raised to trust your teacher. And if she writes something on the chalkboard, you write that in your book and you believe it because it's true. And by God's grace, like we just skipped a whole bunch of that stuff because of what was happening in our country while we were growing up. But I think that's something that I've seen here is that people just blindly trust the police. Now, not all people, but the people that we've met in homeschooling groups, people who are beautiful Christians, and they just don't see. They just don't see it. And they don't, and that's where we've always got to ask, what are we teaching our kids? Where does their faith lie? We're not teaching them to be fearful. I'm not talking about like Rian and I. I'm saying on behalf of Rian, like not that I'm speaking for him or anything, but just these discussions we've had is what are we teaching our kids to have faith in? And if it's anything else than the power of the Bible and the Word of God and the Spirit of Christ in you and the Holy Spirit, then there's like a faulty worldview. But that's not something we can correct. That's something we can pray for. That's something we can lovingly chat about. We had a friend who, like the family has been pushing this boy since he could learn how to draw, or since he learned to draw, to be drawing fighter planes. And he wants to be a fighter pilot for the, what do you even call those people who are military for, I don't even know what they're called. Like the, is it the air arm? I don't know. What do you call them? It's not the Navy. It's whatever that is, right? I don't even know. Those people that,
Air Force, they have
yes, the Air Force. That's right. Yeah. I only know about angels. So so the Air Force. So like, and then we had this discussion and it was such a beautiful discussion. It took forever, but I remember Rian just, the Holy Spirit was on him and he was able to share about who Satan is and he's the Lord of War. And what does that look like? And even if you're working in the military as a civil engineer and you're building bridges, what are those bridges carrying? Even if you're a truck driver in the military, what are those trucks carrying? And to just ask those questions all the time. And anyway, so after that, we were amazed because they went home and they had this whole purge and they threw out all the military stuff and they burnt it in a bonfire. And then my kids were in contact with them a few weeks ago and they've, it's kind of like they've forgotten because they've got their kid in the cadet program. And it's kind of like, well, you know, we shared and we prayed and we saw such amazing revelation and we saw the Lord working. But if there's a stronghold there, like we can't do anything except continue praying. We just pray for that boy's safety and we pray that he is protected and that the Lord will continue revealing the nature of what is required, because that's not required. We are never required to fly planes anywhere, build bridges anywhere, but we are required to fight in the heavenlies and we are required to build bridges of love. And that's it's quite a humbling place to be. So just thought I'd share.
Amen. Thank you, Claire. That's awesome testimony. But that's so true of Christians that were in it before and you leave their sight because every time they look at you or Maria, they're going to see, hey, man, I got to keep that out of my house. But when you leave sight of it, they go right back to what they were doing. Same way with the Word of God.
They don't want to see us no more because they think we're in a cult.
Of course. Yeah, just call them up one day. Say, well, we got the vat going, the grape juice is in, come on over. All right, Malcolm, go ahead, brother. I told my brother that.
Yeah, thanks, Claire. I feel, you know, let me just talk as though I'm feeling like I've got somebody sitting right in front of me. We're sitting on a couple of chairs looking at each other in the eye, and they're wanting to follow the Lord all the way. So let me just say, if you're being convicted to just follow Jesus, come what may, no matter what it costs, God will make all the arrangements for you. It certainly is not an easy path to follow Jesus. Jesus promises persecution. And but I would just, if God's calling you to wholeheartedly just completely make some major changes and follow him and get into his army, I mean, you're going to wreak havoc if you do that. Because God's army, I like the way David phrased, you know, what he was saying Sunday night, that it's really God's people that are calling the shots in the secular world. And you know, who falls, who rises, and all that. So anyway, I just want to say that if you're on the fence, I would say go for it. And God will lead you. I'm sure most of us here have seen the lastreformation.com. They've got videos on their YouTube site and whatnot of people that have, these are some fairly well-to-do people. There's some folks in Australia, folks in California and other places that have just sold their houses, businesses, everything, and they're just out there. They've got RVs and or whatever they're doing, flying around the world, helping bring people to the Lord. And it's just incredible how God is blessing people that totally, you know, following the rock, they're just following the guidance of the Holy Spirit. And it's a great situation, lots of pain, and it's really worth it. Even the people, you know, you listen to stories of people that were in China, you know, 20, 22 years in prison, and some of these people's faces, I mean, some of them, a lot of them are gone now, have passed away, but their faces are just radiant. I mean, incredible. It's just incredible. God, and plus God said he promises to make the restore that which the locusts have eaten. So nobody has to worry. God's going to take care of everything, whatever suffering we go through. God makes it up to us more than we could ever imagine. So we don't even know the extent of how much he makes it up to us.
Amen. Thank you, Malcolm. All right, anyone else? I went ahead and put everybody's name, all of Mill's name in a box and drew out four of them. Actually, except for Ren, I knew that the only time he couldn't be on the second Thursday. Is that right, Ren? Second Thursday? I put you in there second Thursday in January. That doesn't mean you're going to do it every second Thursday. It just means for that month anyway. Unless your name gets pulled out, I'm just saying. All right. Anything else? Anybody else got something they'd like to talk about? That was a good question, Benita. Brought on some good discussion. Yeah, Carol.
Hi, everyone. My question is, I want to know how are you guys, as children of faith, are dealing with Christmas?
What's that?
Christmas.
Yeah, what is that?
Exactly. So how are we dealing with the 25th?
Are you asking me? I can tell you that I don't celebrate it. My family does back in Arkansas, but I don't.
That's good. Neither do I. My family's like thinking I've lost my mind again, but I just can't. I just can't be part of the. I just can't. So I told them, listen, I'll come see you guys in the middle of the holidays, but I'm spending some quiet time with the Lord, which is true. But they really think I've lost my marbles again. Okay, so does that mean that we might have we're still going to meet on Saturday? Yes. Oh, Julie's nodding.
That one I don't have control of, but I can tell you this: if any holidays come up on Tuesday or Thursdays, we always go ahead and have the outreach.
Oh man.
You can choose to come or not. You know, that's we leave that up to everybody. Of course. Okay.
Oh, good. Good, because my heart was a bit heavy because I really felt the conviction, no, don't. But, you know, the pressure of my family right now. And I want them to know I love them, but I just can't partake in this. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Go ahead, Benita. That's a good question. Does anybody celebrate? That is a good question.
Sorry, go ahead.
No, you go ahead, Benita.
That was a very good question, and I would just like to ask for prayer on that matter, because now I have had the revelation of the truth of that, but my family has not, and they're very much into Christmas and everything, put lights up everywhere, and so I have had to very much be weak to the weak. I do not bring up my position because, just like Carol said, they just think I'm already crazy. And rather than starting a big argument about it and having a huge discussion and having them be really angry with me at this point because I live in the house with them, I just have to be quiet and put the lights up. So Lord knows my heart, and thank the Lord for that. Amen.
Amen. Yeah, I shot that little fat guy a long time ago. All right, go ahead, Missy.
That's always a tough thing to deal with. I know, like when I was actually working in the salon, and you know, it was hard to deal with and to know what to say to people. But today I passed someone that I see now and then when I was out on my walk. And she says to me, "So are you ready for Christmas?" And I said, "I'm as ready as I'm going to be." I mean, it's just like, what else can you say? You know, it's like if somebody says Merry Christmas, I'll sometimes my response back will say, I'll just say, you know, bless you or whatever, or, you know, I just can't say it back. I just can't say it. It's you can't just totally turn them off and not respond to a degree, you know, or whatever, you know. So
have you noticed talking about that, Missy, have you noticed how the Christians get mad when you won't say Merry Christmas, you say Happy Holidays? Have you noticed that?
Mm-hmm.
Deal with it, Bubba. That's what you want to say. But.
Last year, my sister was and her husband were supposed to come to visit right before New Year's. They were going to be here over New Year's. And I couldn't tell her that she couldn't come visit, but I just, within me, I knew that the Lord didn't, that she wasn't going to come, and it didn't 100% hit me why the Lord didn't want them to come. You know, I wanted to see them, but the whole thing of it is I don't think my sister would have understood it, and even my brother-in-law, who's not even saved, I don't think he would have understood the fact that we didn't have a tree up, you know, and, because most people leave a tree up until after New Year's and all that kind of stuff. And that would have been a major stumbling block, I think, to them both. So I just praise the Lord that, you know, they didn't come, you know, there was an ice storm and kept them from coming. So, you know, you just pray about those things and the Lord works them out, you know. Amen.
Amen. Yeah, Julie.
A really wise brother once told me, you know, we're discussing Christmas and holidays and that kind of stuff, is like, you know, being weak to the weak, you know, you just ask God for a lot of grace, but, you know, it's like, it's okay to give somebody a Christmas gift who's expecting a Christmas gift, like kids or, you know, something like that. I know God knows my heart, you know, but they're expecting a Christmas gift. You kind of have to like comply, you know, unless they know where you stand and they know you're not going to give them a Christmas gift. You know, this is really hard. But you have to, people who are expecting something at Christmas time and sharing all that. Yeah, we really have to be wearing armor and grace and all kinds of stuff to be polite and just show them love and kindness. And you know, that's things like, God, you know my heart. I don't share this. It's like, I have a hard time repeating those words too. I don't say it anymore. And you know, I've never had anyone say anything. Why don't you ever say it? I always would say, thank you. God bless you. You know, and I like what someone put in the chat there about, yeah, Happy New Year. You know, it's kind of like, they all kind of go together. Right. But, you know, I don't send out the cards anymore. I don't receive the cards anymore either.
I ain't got to spend a whole bunch of money buying presents either.
I know. You know, so anyhow, this is kind of, somebody's expecting something and you know that it would really cheer them up. It would, you know, if they're like, there's so much depression, there's just so much oppression and this time of year. And it's like, you know, that it would really make somebody cheer their spirits. It's like you remembered them to send them something, you know. I don't know. You just really got to be led of the Lord or not, you know. So Lord bless us and help us all.
Amen.
With that subject this time of year, because now is not the best time to bring it up anyhow, because they would just all be, that Christmas spirit gets very offended.
Yeah. All right, go ahead, Ray or Jim.
Yes. Well, first of all, our children know that God did not come in the flesh on December 25th. We have said biblically that he actually was born during the fall season. But what we're doing now is we have a family gathering at our house. We have a meal together, etc. And I have lights all over the house. No Christmas tree. And the idea was not for the children to give us gifts, but we would say, this is your New Year gift. And we'd give them a gift. And now we have grandchildren. So we have gifts out, but it's not, we don't do any Santa. And it's grandma, grandpa on their gift. And we're doing it as a family holiday. I even have done on Facebook where I don't understand why it upsets people not to say Merry Christmas, because it's all seems to be wrapped up in all this materialism, you know, all this shopping, like, what am I going to get? What are you going to get? And that is not true worship. So that's how we're making it.
We've made birthdays a big deal throughout the year for an individual day for each person when their birthday comes. We tried to shy away from Christmas as a major event.
And I have to admit, there was one year when we came into the knowledge about Christmas Day. We were going to Florida where my parents lived at the time and my sister, who still does. And we told them we weren't going to exchange any gifts. And it was very upsetting to my mother in particular. And we left Christmas Day morning, right? Mm-hmm. We left that morning. We didn't even want to be in the house. And it was very depressing because everything was closed and we were in a motel with just our son at the time. And I figured, why am I feeling so down and low? Aren't we doing the right thing? And literally what I got from the Lord was, I didn't ask for you to do it that way. And I was like devastated. And so we never did it that way again. And that's just our story.
Mm-hmm. Amen. You do it the way the Lord wants you to, yeah. You need to be week to the week, you know. Even when I was with my family, I allowed them to do that because there was, you know, I didn't want to create a lot of problems in the household. So I just let them do that. But I did put my foot down on Halloween. I said, we're not celebrating Halloween. You can throw a fit. You can get out there in the yard and roll up and down and scream and holler all you want to, but we're not going to do Halloween. And I said, you need to start thinking about what Christmas actually represents. And then we'll talk about it again next year. And we would, you know, just do it that way. Go ahead, Nick.
Yeah, I was thinking of this, and I know what I wanted to talk about, what the birth of Jesus was and stuff, and how he raised from the dead at Christmas time.
Okay, all right. Well, let's see what Malcolm has to say first. He'll probably be one talking about Christmas, and then we'll get into that. Okay.
Okay.
All right. Go ahead, Malcolm.
Say ho ho ho, but maybe, yeah. okay. I've never been led, I'm being facetious, to return fudge, brownies, cookies, or fruitcake or anything else people send for some reason. Anyway, back to you. That was all I had to say. That was for you, Julie.
I tell you, I love it when they send me candy.
Oh, my okay, goodness. Malcolm, I got the hint.
Amen. All right.
I think Vanita wanted prayer too, though, for that. So,
okay, right? Go ahead.
Oh, well, I need prayer too, but okay, sure, I'll go for it. Okay, God, I do need prayer. So, Father, I ask for your mercy and your grace be upon us to have this wisdom on how to be gentle with them, but to be wise also so we don't step into any traps. And that we wouldn't be condemned, because you convict us. And when you convict us, you show the correct path. It doesn't mean that we've abandoned our families, but it does mean we are following you. And when we do follow you, you give us the heart to also include them in our prayers, and you hear our prayers. And we do pray for our families that have yet to know you and have yet to get the conviction about Christmas. We wouldn't even touch that topic at the beginning. And I thank you, Lord, that I'm going to kind of mix this prayer with the first topic we were talking about, which was, you know, the police officers and stuff like that. I wasn't a police officer, but you convicted me at a time when I got saved to, I think it was only a few months into my salvation, you convicted me to stop teaching yoga. And I got the conviction. I didn't feel guilty. I didn't judge other people. I simply just shut my studio down, because you convicted me that I would be misleading other people. And so, yeah, thank you that you give us wisdom. I pray for peace on my sister Vanita, Lord, and all of us that may still be in the closet about Christmas. And I thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit. And thank you, Abba Daddy. You are a good, good Father. Amen.
Amen. We hook our faith up with Carol and count it as so, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Yeah, Pat, go ahead.
I was just thinking about, because we had a situation in our family, we were supposed to be going up to my daughter's in Syracuse for Christmas. And so she texted my wife the other day, yesterday maybe, said she asked us if we were vaccinated. Of course, we told her that we weren't. And then she said, well, I'm worried about you guys coming up and being with us if you're not vaccinated because of this Omicron or whatever the latest flavor of disease is now. And of course, I got to thinking about that this morning. And I was just thinking how, you know, that I would enjoy the opportunity to react or respond to my daughter about that. I was thinking about the fact that our fear of the Lord has separated us from the fear of the world. And if you're not if you do not fear the Lord, you potentially fear everything else, because man will throw whatever at you and everything after you. And I just got this picture, you know, when you fear the Lord and you bow your heart before the Lord Jesus, you'll find that every other fear that's out there is bowing to God as well, because they are under the same God. And when you fear God, you don't have to worry about all the other fears. And that's really what this whole virus mandate and all this sort of thing is playing upon, that the fact that that people fear the government, fear whatever the next fear is, they fear that instead of fearing God and fearing God and observing his word above all others, above all, you know, other words. And so I guess even this conversation, let's say about Christmas and, you know, I think it's good to talk it over and be aware of certain things, but I believe that the fears that are coming and the conditions that are coming upon the world here is slowly but surely going to remove even the concern or the desire for Christmas. It's going to seem like it's way down on the relevance totem pole compared to some of the things that we're going to be looking at. And so I guess I just think that to focus on fearing the Lord, obeying him, keeping our eyes peeled for opportunities to speak, and take advantage of the environment that's coming upon us in the fear of the Lord to bring people into the kingdom. So I think that, I don't know, I guess I'm just, so I think this, the whole situation about Christmas, as far as we're concerned, we got kind of ushered out of the picture, so to speak, because of the fear of the world, you know, and all the fear of the virus and the plague and everything else. So, you know, may become a moot point here, you know.
Yeah. Well, you know, the question I would have to ask, if they ask me, you know, they're worried about you not being vaccinated, is this question right here. And this is, should be asked all across the nation. Well, if you're vaccinated, why are you worried? I mean, that's just simple logic. If you're vaccinated, what's a vaccination? It's to prevent from getting it, right? Supposed to be.
Yeah, that's the normal response. However, in this situation, my daughter was worried about us getting sick or whatever. So,
yeah,
but whatever. I understand.
I would know that you, Brio, said, there you go, trying to apply logic again.
Very true.
That's the problem with
logic falters in the face of fear.
You can't make sense out of nonsense.
That's right. They cannot. It's just so silly.
I had a friend that said, so he has a statement that I've always kind of hung on, and that was, just because they're confused doesn't mean I have to be in it.
Yeah, so. Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, let me think here just a minute. I've got brothers and sisters that's done the same thing, Pat. Said, well, you haven't been vaccinated? I said, no. Well, we're going to have a family reunion. You know, I don't know if you need to come or not. And I'd ask them, I said, well, wait a minute. Let's think just a little bit here. I know where y'all came from. I know you got better sense than this because I was raised with you. Think about it a minute. Just think just a minute what you said. In one ear, out the other. Go ahead, Malcolm.
I was just gonna say something that I should remove it from my vocabulary, but here I am saying it again. And that is a little in a response to those kind of situations, just to say, you know, I can't really argue with that kind of logic.
Exactly. I like that. Can I use that? All right. Well, listen, Thursday night we'll talk about what Nick wanted, and the question he asked was why or when Jesus was born, or when was Jesus born. We'll talk a little bit about Christmas then to the pagan date.
Rion has a spreadsheet for this one.
Hey, Rion can start teaching this Thursday.
Okay. All right.
That one, unfortunately, that's the whole point of it. We can talk about that for years and years and study historical documents, and people are still divided on it. It's definitely not the 21st, that's all I can say, of December.
I think it was in July, because I saw something last summer about Christmas in July. That's what I heard.
I believe the Lord did that for a reason.
I do too.
Make a point that you're not supposed to celebrate it.
That's not real important. The important thing is that he was born, not when. Praise the Lord. Okay. Why or when was Jesus born? Not December. That's right. Okay, Nick, we'll talk about that Thursday night.
Okay.
All right, buddy. You go do some research on it too, and you can offer your analogies on it too, okay?
Okay, I will.
I know you will. All right. Well, we'll see y'all Thursday night. Y'all be blessed. Lord, I just thank you for giving everybody a good night's sleep tonight. I'm talking about everybody in here. And that there's not going to be any waking up, unusual waking up. They'll just go to bed, lay the head down on the pillow, zonk out, wake up in the morning, and be supernaturally energized in Jesus' name. Amen. Yeah, that depends on, I'm talking this night. Now, if it's not this night at your place, it's still this night, right? Okay.
Amen.
Amen. All right, y'all be blessed.